Shabbat shalom. How wonderful to have such a beautiful, full congregation. And I am really thrilled to see all of you here from the very youngest to the very oldest. And I want to talk a little bit with you today, and I want you all to participate when it's appropriate to participate. So I'm going to be asking some questions. So here's a hard one. And you can just shout out the answer if you know it. What month are we in? Very good, February. Now the month that we're in also has a Hebrew name. Anyone know the Hebrew name? Shvat, yes. So it happens that in the month of February and in the month of Shvat, there are some pretty important birthdays. Now, of course, I'm talking about my daughter's birthdays and my grandson. No. There are some other important birthdays in the month of February. Who knows somebody who was born in the month of February? Yes? Trees in the month of Shavuot. It's the birthday of the trees. In fact, today is the birthday of the trees. Excellent. Tu Bishvat. Who else? Who else was born that everybody knows about in the month of February? Charles Dickens. Okay, I wasn't thinking of Charles Dickens. I'm sure there are others as well. Yes. Oregon was born in February. I learned something new. That's good to know. Okay, I'll give you another hint. Next week, you have a day off from school in honor of some special birthdays. Yes. Valentine's Day. That's actually not a birthday, but it's a good holiday. We all like celebrating love. Okay, birthdays. Over here, somebody. Yes. Abraham Lincoln and President's Day, yes, which is, yes, George Washington and Abraham Lincoln. And we know George Washington because he was the first president of the United States, and we know Abraham Lincoln in particular because he was the president who freed the slaves. Now, there's another event that we're going to be reading about today that actually combines both of those ideas. It's kind of the birthday of the Jewish people in today's Torah portion, because it is the Torah portion, B'Shalach, which you'll find on page 399 in the Eitz Chaim, in which the Jewish people, as it says in the first line, were let go out of Egypt by Pharaoh. Okay, so before we get there, I want to ask whether anyone here has a birthday today. If you have a birthday today or tomorrow, can you stand up? No one has a birthday today. How about last week? If you had a birthday last week, stand up.
I had a half birthday.
Half birthday, that counts, that's good. How about a birthday next week? Anyone have a birthday next week? Okay, how about a birthday last month? Anybody have a birthday in January? Okay, how about a birthday in March? Any birthdays in March? No, keep standing up. Don't sit down till I tell you to. Okay, here's the trick question. How many people here have a birthday? If you have a birthday, stand up. If you're still sitting down, you are a first of a very unusual kind. So let's sit down again and we'll talk a little bit more about firsts and birthdays. So in this parsha, we know some names of some people. We've all heard of Moshe, right? We've all heard of Miriam, right? Put your hand up if you have heard about someone named Nachshon ben Aminadav. Okay, he's semi-famous. But by the time we're done talking today, I hope many of you will remember the name of Nachshon ben Aminadav. So think about the story in today's parsha. Finally, people, the Israelite people, are finally getting to leave Mitzrayim. Pharaoh has decided to let them go. But what do we know about Pharaoh? He changes his mind. So after the Israelite people have rushed out, we're leaving Egypt. There's a pillar of cloud before us. during the day and a pillar of fire at night that's leading us out, and all of a sudden we see Pharaoh and hundreds of chariots and horses chasing us from behind. How do you think the people of Israel felt? Scared. Really scared. Really scared. And when you're scared, what do you want to do? You want to protect yourself and you want to find out whose fault it was. At least some of us do. So the Israelite people turned and said, Moses, why are you doing this? Why did you take us out here? Why did you take us out into the desert away from that wonderful Egypt where we lived so well? Did they live well in Egypt? No, but it looked a lot better than being scared out in the desert. So what does Moses do? Moses says three things. Don't be afraid. Stand fast. And see, look, you'll see the salvation, the rescue that God will carry out. So for once, the Israelite people actually listened. And they said, okay, we'll try not to be afraid. We'll stand here and we'll watch. Was that a good idea? Well, Pharaoh's army is not standing still. Pharaoh's army is still coming. And the Israelite people are standing there. Because they really listened this time. And Moses says, oh God, what are we going to do? Help, help. And what do you think Hashem said? Hashem, the Torah portion tells us, said, you know, Moses, this is not a time to pray. Move, move already. But the Israelite people are standing there and they are standing there. Because behind them is Pharaoh. But in front of them, what's in front of them? The sea, the Red Sea. And it's full of water. So everyone is now not just scared, but kind of paralyzed. Nothing is happening. It's a moment of decision. And we've all been in moments like that when we know something has to happen, but we don't know what is going to happen. So Moses prays, God answers. The Torah portion tells us that the Israelites, in fact, went forward. And what happened? The sea parted. The sea opened up, and everyone walked through it and got through to the other side. So that's the thumbnail sketch of what happened. But think about that moment when the whole people is spread out on the shores of the sea. And there's the ocean, and nothing is happening. And you know, they have in their ears the echo of what Hashem said. Now here, listen to this, because this comes up twice in the Torah portion. God says, I will let the people go. And at chapter 14, verse 16, God says this very strange thing. The people will go into the sea on dry land. Vayavo'u b'nei Yisrael betoch hayam be'yavashah. How can you be in the sea on dry land? You can't do those two things at the same time. It's like saying, I'm going to be in a very cold place where it's hot. So how does that happen? Well, our rabbis from long ago said, how could this come about? How is it that the Israelites actually went through the sea? And the rabbis say it was Nachshon ben Aminadav who actually walked into the sea, and that's when the sea opened up, and on dry land, Israel walked through the sea. Now, let's think about that for a moment. Think about times when you've been the first person to do something. Somebody was the first person to come up here to lead services today. Wonder how that felt. One of you kids was the first person who came up here before everybody else did and led the group. Daniel, is that you with a comment? Or are you just waving? Just waving? Okay. Daniel might have been the first one who came up here. Think for yourself about some time when it's been the first. Now, And now think about people who have been the first to do something. Who can you think of who's been the first to do something? I think immediately of Rosa Parks, the first person to say, no, I'm not going to go sit back there in the back of the bus. I'm tired. I'm sitting here just like any other person. Who else is a first? Yes. And what was Ruby Bridges first? She what? Okay. And how do you think she felt?
Terrified.
Terrified, absolutely terrified. She was not an adult person who had worked like Ruby, like Rosa Parks. She was a child. Okay, who else? Martin Luther King Jr. was the first to make certain kinds of speeches, to say, let justice roll forth like the waters in the sea. Yes. And how do you think she felt?
Pretty
amazed and pretty amazing and possibly also a little scared, but she had a lot of determination to get there. Yes. George Washington. What about George Washington? What was he, the first? Yeah, and what do you think it took to be first president of the United States? What? It was really hard. He was a really strong person and he had to be determined. Yes. What?
Obama,
our first black president. What did it take to stand up for eight years and have calumny spoken about him? Strength. Yes? Neil Armstrong, the first? Neil Armstrong, the first person to walk on the moon. And what do you think it took to be that first? A really, really, really good suit. Okay. I wonder if Nachshon Ben Aminadav probably wished he had a scuba diver's outfit as he took that first step. I hadn't thought of that. Okay, another first back there in the pink dress. What?
Isaac Newton,
the first one who discovered gravity. An apple fell on his head, and instead of like the rest of us saying, ouch, he said, why did it fall down? So listen to all these firsts. It takes strength. It takes determination. It takes actually looking around and seeing what is actually going on. Sometimes it takes really elbowing your way out to the front. And our rabbis said, you know, it might have been that Nachshon Ben Aminadav was actually elbowing or maybe even throwing stones at his brothers because he wanted to really be the first. That version of the story says that Nachshon Ben Aminadav was not the first. But it's possible that when you want to be the first at something, you really have to fight for that. It's also possible that you might end up being the first to do something without really intending to. You're frightened, you're confused, you don't really know what you're doing. Our rabbi said that's how Nachshon Ben Aminadav was. He was in the middle of this crowd of people who were all shouting, oh, we don't want to go, we don't want to go, we don't want to go. And he jumped up because he was so scared and he slipped and fell in the water. And so everyone took off. And when he fell in the water, he cried out, oh, save me, God. Ah, the water's up to my neck. So from this we learn that being the first sometimes means you have to cry out for help, for wherever you can get help. And sometimes you end up being the first, not because you've been fighting to get there, but because you happen to fall into that situation. Or it could be that you want to be someone who is brave, who really can step forward, like whichever kid it was who came up here first, and you can encourage everyone and say, yeah, let's go, let's do that. So what we can pull out of, and the rabbis say that all of those versions of how people become leaders are ways that we can think about Nachshon Ben Aminadav. So leadership depends on thinking carefully, looking carefully around like Isaac Newton did, and thinking, looking to see what a moment calls for. What will bring us the best outcome? Then leadership requires taking action. And then finally, it means acting with faith and confidence in the future. Not looking back, not wanting to say, oh, let's go back to that reality that we used to live in that was so terrific, except it really wasn't. It means looking forward. So, who was Nachshon ben Aminadav? He was the first to step into the sea and led the people across to safety. But will we hear his name in today's Parsha? Nope. We heard about him very briefly in last week's Parsha. We found out that he is the brother of Aaron's wife. And way in the future, in our Torah reading, when we get to Numbers 7:16 and the tabernacle is being dedicated, Nachshon ben Aminadav is the first to offer his sacrifices, his first offering to dedicate the tabernacle. And that's how the rabbis figured out that he must have been the first one to go into the sea and bring about the freedom of the Jewish people through the effort of crossing the sea. That was his reward. But think about it. We don't know his name. Most of us didn't. He is not Moshe, not Miriam, not Aaron. So leadership doesn't necessarily mean everyone will always know your name, but it does mean that we can bring about miracles. Shabbat Shalom.